Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that you are more than enough. God, that you can be our all and our everything. God, we thank you that you supply our needs not according to this world, but God, that you supply our needs according to your riches and glory. God, that no matter what circumstance, what trial, what situation we face, Lord God, that you are enough. God, keep our faces turned towards you in our time of trial, in our time of testing. God, that we would turn to you, that we would seek you, that we would find you, Lord God, being more than enough for what we're going through. God, we know that your word does not promise us a life on this side of heaven of complete joy and pain-free, an easy road. But God, what you do promise us is a life everlasting if we choose to serve you. God, a life in eternity with you, with no more pain, with no more sorrow, but full of joy and love. Father, we look forward to eternity with you. God, keep us true and faithful while on this earth to serve you, to seek you. Father, we love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We serve an amazing God. His love is never failing. He is everlasting from beginning to end. He is more than enough for whatever you will go through, whatever you're enduring, whatever situation or circumstance life can throw at you. God is even bigger than 2020. I saw a great post on Facebook this week. 2020 is a new four-letter word. So you can't say that anymore, okay? As Christians, we can't use that word. God is way bigger than any election, than any COVID, than anything the devil can throw at us. God is still on the throne. God is still Lord over all. God still controls the outcome of my situations and circumstances if I'll invite him into it. God is still in control of my destiny. God still offers his grace toward me and my situation. And that's what we're going to talk about today, God's grace. So we did cancel children's church classes today. So most of you are online today, and thank the 10 of you for showing up today. I appreciate having 10 of you here. It's awesome. Yeah, we're still doing online. So thankful to God that we had the finances to be able to purchase the equipment, to be able to put the Word of God out on the web across the world. Some of you may not know, maybe some of you viewing online don't know, but we have people viewing on three different continents most every Sunday, all across the U.S., from New York to Florida to California, back up to Washington. So we have a great body hearing the Word of God around the globe each and every Sunday, listening to the truth of God's Word and how it can set us free. And unfortunately, last Sunday, we had a technical error. Our internet provider, their tower went down, and our service got cut off like 10 minutes into the message. And some people were like calling me like, what did you guys do wrong? They took your message down. And I was like, oh, well, I'll have to look into it. And it turns out their tower went down, so everybody lost internet. So if you were watching online last week and didn't get to finish that great message on freedom that God wants for us, being totally free, by Pastor Kelly, you can check that out. It's on our website. The audio file did upload, and we got that going. So TLC, the number for me, .cc. TLC number 4 me.cc. You can listen to that online and get the full message. It was an awesome, powerful message about the freedom God wants for us. He doesn't want us partially free. He wants us completely free to where we don't even smell like the smoke of the bondage we used to be in. But 100% freedom is what God has in store for you and I. So jump on there, check it out. It's on our website at the Life Center. So check it out. Also, of course, across the state and the country, COVID cases are going up. COVID cases are going up, not the death rate, so just keep that in mind. But we do always want people healthy and well, and just love people by taking care of people. Take care of yourself, take care of those around you. Don't be judgmental, be loving, caring, and compassionate. And just be helping everybody stay safe, use hand sanitizer, wash your hands, soap and water is a really good remedy. They just came out with it last year, it's a new product. Yeah, they just came out with hand soap last year. It's pretty cool. It's been around for forever, and it's really effective if you use it. It's kind of like a seatbelt. It's really effective if you use it when you hit something head on. If you don't, you can roll around and get beat up a little bit. So just be aware of people. Be aware of their needs. Be aware of what they need, and take care of yourself. Take care of others. Because our number one mandate is to love God. Number two is to love people. So love God and love people. Stick with that in the forefront of your repertoire of tools throughout the week. Loving God and loving people. So we're going to jump into the message today. We're coming up on Thanksgiving season, and I always, of course, I'm thankful all year long, but Thanksgiving season really like sparks the interest in me and makes me stop and pause. What am I thankful for? And I was sitting out on a hillside this week on my walk with God, and I was just kind of contemplating and going over my life. And like, what am I really thankful for, God? What's in my life? What do you want me to talk to your people about? What do you want me to share with them? And I just thought, your grace. God, I am so thankful for your grace. Because without it, I'm a sinner. Without it, I deserve hell and condemnation and death. Without it, I can't be made clean again. But God's grace that he sent through his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sin and our debt on the cross. Grace is this. It's love and mercy. It's unmerited favor. It's not something I can earn or obtain or, okay, I've been to church 32 out of 52 weeks this year. I get grace now. No, it's God saying, I love you so much, Arby, even while you're a sinner and rejecting me and abusing me, I'm extending my grace to you. It looks like this. This last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was playing Monopoly with my 8-year-old daughter, which is a fun game with an 8-year-old, let me tell you. The rules kept changing so she could win of what it was going to, because she had a bedtime, and that's when the game was over, and she noticed that I had more properties than her. And we started with whoever has the most properties at the end of the game wins. And she's like, oh, I'm losing. And she noticed her stack of money was this big, and mine was this big because I had invested all mine in properties. And she's like, well, whoever has the most money at the end of the game wins. It's like, oh, now I'm really losing. And so we go on, and finally it comes bedtime, and she's like, all right, Dad, how about one more lap around the board? I'm like, okay, one more lap, no big deal. It's 4 or 5 rolls of the dice. Wouldn't you know it, she lands on go to jail. So she does not pass go, does not collect 200. She goes directly to jail. And I'm like, well, all game she's been paying her 50. We play pay $50 to the middle and you get out of jail. All game she's been doing this. Mind you, she has a get out of jail free card laying next to her properties. I'm like, okay, time to use your card. She goes, no. If I stay in jail, we can play longer. So she does her 3 rolls, doesn't get doubles, but then gets out on her 4th roll. That's how we play in our house. She gets out, and wouldn't you know it, lands on go directly to jail once again. I'm like, seriously, God? So of course she doesn't spend her get out of jail free card. She doesn't spend her $50 to get out of jail. She stays in because it's going to prolong the game. And wouldn't you know it, she gets out and gets a mystery gift, which says, go directly to jail. Do not pass go. So again, she doesn't roll out of jail. She stays in there for the duration. So I've went around the board 4 times, since we were going to do our one last lap. Of course, prolonged her fun with Dad, but sometimes it looks like this in our relationship with God. So, God, I'm having so much fun doing what I want to do. And I know your grace is sitting right there, and all I have to do is apply it to my situation. But I would rather do what I want to do than accept your grace for me. Because God extends his grace to us. That doesn't mean we have to pick it up and play with it or use it. Sometimes we would rather sit in jail and not collect our $200 for pass and go and not receive the blessing and the goodness of God because we're so focused on ourselves. I think it's called pride. Ooh, is that a sin? That's not like drinking and smoking or sex outside of marriage, but yeah, pride. Another one of the great sins of our lives. We say, well, God, when I get ready, I'll use it. But I don't want to use it right. But God's grace is always sitting there, ready for us, extended to us. But we do have to tap into it. We have to come to that point in our lives. We say, God, I'm tired of going to jail. I'm tired of sitting alone in my cell. I'm tired of living on bread and water. I want the goodness of God in my life once again. I want your love and mercy to flow over my life once again. And if we'll really experience it, really taste and see, then we'll never go to jail again. We will always choose, God, your get out of jail free card. And grace doesn't give us a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license to go do what we want to do whenever we want to do and say, oh, sorry, God, did it again. Forgive me. Okay, that's not grace. But grace is God's gesture to us saying, I want to be engaged in a relationship with you. Like Bethany spoke this morning. I want to soften your heart of stone. I want to defrost and make pliable to create in you a new heart that you can experience all of my love, all of my mercy that I have in store for you, all of my favor I have to show toward you in your life. That's the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. God's grace looks like this amazing waterfall. It's constantly pouring out over us. Well, sometimes you've just got to move to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You've got to shift your circumstance, your situation, your hangout place. But he said to me, of course, this is Christ speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul speaking here, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Just before this, Paul is griping and complaining to the Lord about this thorn in his flesh, and it doesn't say specifically what it is. Maybe it's a sin issue. Maybe it's just a harassing spirit tormenting him. There's something going on in Paul's life, and he's like, God, if you could just get rid of it. God, if you could just remove it from me. And God's saying, my grace isn't about removing everything hard in your life. My grace isn't about making the road smooth ahead of you. My grace is about my strength being able to carry you through those hard times, those hardships. My grace is about me being able to carry you through and you being able to walk uprightly and holy, even with a thorn in your flesh. That's what God's grace is. It carries us through the hardships of life. Sometimes we ask God for, God, this is what we're really wanting. God, we want a promise. God, we want miracles in our lives. God, I want this to happen in my life. And as we get on getting to our miracle or our promise, we come up against this fence, or we could call it offense. And we're like, well, God, I was just about to get my miracle, and then this happened. And then we get ticked off. And we get mad and say, well, obviously your grace isn't enough because this is going on in my life. And God's saying, no, you're not understanding my grace. Inside of my grace is the ability to strengthen yourself so that you're able to endure and handle the miracle I'm preparing for you. ahead of you. A good example is the Israelites as they're leaving Egypt. They've been 400 years in slavery and bondage. They're getting ready to exit, and the 10 plagues come upon the Egyptians. God's growing and developing their faith because he knows on their way to the promised land, on the way to their miracles, there's going to be hardship. There's going to be a great desert they have to go through. Pharaoh's going to come and pursue them for their lives. They're going to run out of food and water. They're going to come up against a Red Sea that looks impassable as the enemy's closing in upon them. But if he doesn't build inside of them some endurance, some strength, some encouragement, some faith, they're never going to make it to the promised land. So don't look at your offenses or your trials or your tribulations as though God has removed his grace from you. That's God's grace working within you to give you the strength that you need to be able to handle the provision or the miracle he has in store for you. He's building within you integrity. He's building within you compassion. He's building within you love and mercy. He's building within you what? I can name a list of things he's built within me through offenses or things I could have taken offense over. You can use them and be offended by them, and you can get bitter and angry and resentful. Or you can use them as building blocks in your life. God, what are you teaching me in this moment? Because I promise you, when you get a little further down your road of life, you're going to look back and go, that's why you taught me that, God, so that in this moment I would be ready to receive what you have in store for me. So don't get offended. Don't be jaded. Don't be bitter. Don't let unforgiveness settle in your heart. But rather, extend the grace that God has extended you. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you and I were still sinners, we weren't serving God, we weren't loving God, we weren't accepting God, but he still loved us. Christ still died for us, knowing that it was my sin that would put him on that cross, knowing that it was your sin that would put him on that cross. Christ still died for us. That's God's grace. It goes before us to make a way possible where there seems to be no way. So God's grace is sufficient for you, whatever circumstance you face, and know that God's grace goes before you. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm so thankful that I didn't have to get right before God before he extended my grace to me. I might still be a mess. I might still be a wreck and lost without hope or salvation. But thank God for his grace that goes before me. Even when I was a sinner, his grace went before me. I still had to move into it and accept it, but it was there before me, available. Titus 2, verses 11 through 12. This is why God gives us grace. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. God's grace is enough for you and I to walk uprightly and godly lives in this present age. It's enough for me to say no to ungodly passions or ungodly actions. It's enough for me to walk uprightly before him. Thank God for his grace. By his grace, I can live according to his word. By his grace, I can have self-control in my life. Amen. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Can you imagine after the rapture when his grace is removed from the world? Because it's like over the whole world. Not everybody's partaking of it, but it covers the world. The world operates within his grace right now. What then when it's removed? Yikes. Yikes. The Word of God gives us some descriptions of that. We're not going to talk about that today. You can jump in there. That's your homework fun study. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. How do we receive his grace? How do we go about obtaining his grace? Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, or some versions say boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When is God's grace applied? In our time of need. Always, yes, but mostly in our time of need is when we need his grace. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness of my sins. I need to be able to deal with this very difficult person right now and have godly actions instead of RB actions. His grace is available to us in our time of need. And he says, come and ask for it. Request of it. Come boldly into my throne room and say, God, I have a situation I have to deal with today, and I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I need your grace. God can give you love and mercy to deal with any situation with his grace. If you'll invite him into your situation, say, God, I need you. Thank God I can engage in any situation under his grace and deal with it appropriately, giving him honor and glory through that. Giving honor to the person I'm speaking with. God allows us to come boldly before his throne, requesting grace for our times of need. Make sure you're doing that. Sometimes we just don't do it. Just like sitting on your Monopoly board in jail and not using your get out of jail free card. It's like God gives us this get out of jail free card to be able to deal with our times of need. It's not to say, oh, I screwed up again, God. Sorry. Shucks, I'll do better next time. It's not that I get to go live a life of sin because God's grace will cover it and it's no big deal. It's a, God, I have a situation that I want to honor you in. Will you extend your grace to me? Your love and mercy that I could show it to those around me. That I could bring you glory and honor through my actions, my words, my deeds. That's what God's grace is for in our lives. 1 Peter 4:10. It's a really good shotgun. One person got that. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Three more of you just got it. Now, pretty soon all 10 of you will get it. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Do you know that you and I are a steward of God's grace? We're not to be hoarders of God's grace. We are to be stewards of God's grace. And if God's grace looks like this waterfall flowing into my life, it should be also flowing out of my life. It's a gift to be received and a gift to be given. I'm a steward of God's grace, and how I treat people around me according to God's grace that's been given to me, and when I know I'm a sinner, when I know I deserve punishment and death, but God extended his grace to me, how much more should I extend that grace to those around me? Those who don't think like me, those who disagree with me, those who don't understand me, those who condemn me. I believe the Word of God says even to our enemies to extend grace or love or mercy, to feed them, to clothe them, to give them drink. That's God's grace flowing into me and me experiencing it and letting it flow back out of me to those around me. Because I'm a steward of his grace, which means I manage it well, I multiply, I grow and develop it, and I send it back out. You and I are stewards of God's grace. Receive grace and give grace as freely as it has been given to you. receive grace. You know, sometimes it's hard to receive grace. Sometimes we live in our own condemnation, our own lack of self-esteem, and we don't receive grace well ourselves. So you need to learn to receive grace and to give grace. Grace allows for us to love one another. Do you have any perfect people in your life? Anybody? There's one person with their hand up. We need to pray for him. Any perfect people in your life? Jesus, I know you have perfect parents. See one young kid back there with his hand in the air? My dad's perfect. It's not my kid. My kids will not tell you that. Oh, wait. He's not my kid, but he says I'm perfect. Yeah. Oh, wait. His dad is perfect. Oh. Either way. We are not perfect, except by Christ in us. We are made to be perfect. But as humans, we're flawed. We've messed up. We're part of this world of sin since Adam and Eve. But we don't have to live like the world. We're just spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. If we choose to. This is just a passage to eternity. But I know I'm not perfect. But I know Christ in me makes me perfect before the Father. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So grace allows us to love one another. Grace sees our God-given identity. Grace doesn't see who I am in my sin. Grace sees who God created me to be. And grace says, without love and mercy in Arby's life, without unmerited favor in Arby's life, he's never going to become who God's called him to be. So we're going to go sprinkle some grace all over Arby because he needs a lot. And probably I have two or three grace fairies that have to sprinkle me every day. I don't know how God distributes it really, but I'm just, in this world, that's all I can think of is little grace fairies. Like, oh boy, Arby's at it again, get some more grace ready. Oh boy, here he goes again, get the grace ready. But God distributes his grace freely, and we have to partake of it so that we can walk into the fullness of our God-given identity, who he's called us to be. And I'm not everything I need to be to who God's called me to be yet. But I'm a lot closer than I used to be because I walk in more of his grace than I used to. I understand more of his grace than I used to. I've accepted more of his grace than I used to. I think I'm like probably have an arm and a shoulder and one leg in the waterfall. So I think his grace is so much bigger than I can even understand right now. I think there's a lot more to experience and know. And maybe one day I'll get half of me in it. And maybe before I get to heaven, I'll get all of me in it. There's something to look forward to. There's something to be thankful for. As I'm experiencing so much of your grace, God, and it's amazing, but I know I haven't experienced it all yet. There's more of you out there and available to experience and enjoy. That should give us thankfulness in our hearts for God's grace and who he is in our lives. You can apply grace to your place of employment. Can you believe that? To the place I work, I can have grace? I've heard this phrase many times talking with people like, yeah, I don't like my boss, and if I had a better boss, I'd work harder. Or I'm like, dude, you're a Christian. You should be the best employee they have. You should be working everybody else under the table. You should have the best service, the best product. You should put the hardest time and effort in. They should be gloating over you and how amazing you are and where do I get more of you? It's like, oh, my church is full of us. Because we're to work not for earthly masters, but for the Lord God Almighty. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might and strength and soul and ability. Because you're working for the Lord. And I've had some of the nastiest jobs in the world. Have you ever worked on a chicken farm? I've worked on a pheasant farm. And it's probably pretty equal to a chicken farm. And you think, oh, you know, 10 pretty little pheasants running around. No problem. How about 25 or 30,000 pheasants running around? You know what they do after they eat? I'm just going to let you go with that one, imagination station. Do you know what 500 of them do in the same pen? When it's rainy and wet and yucky out, and then you have to go in and catch some of them? Like, if you've never had a muddy chicken foot in your mouth, you have not lived. So I've had some really gross jobs, but I'm going to be the best pheasant catcher in the pen, regardless of what I'm doing. If I'm scrubbing toilets, you're going to have the cleanest, shiniest toilet out of all the toilets that were scrubbed, because I scrubbed that one. I don't care what I do for work, but I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because I'm serving God. And I don't have to agree with my employer. I don't have to have the same belief systems as my employer. Right now, you guys are my employer. You know that, right? But I do have to give my very best to my employer, because of the grace of God allows me that no matter my situation. Daniel, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, he went and worked for the enemy king, and he served him so well above the rest that he rose and rose and rose, serving his enemy king who kidnapped him, who stole him from his country, who did Lord knows what to him and all his friends. Yet Daniel kept his integrity intact. He let the grace of God flow through his life. He said, I'm going to serve this king as if he was my own, because I'm not really serving him. I'm serving the Lord God Almighty. And he ended up leading this king to salvation through his actions. You have to go read the whole story in Daniel. That's just a glimpse of it. The lion's den, the fiery furnace, all that fun stuff. But he served well, no matter who he served. And that's how we are to work. God provides us. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to skip Colossians for the computer. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. And why does he bless us abundantly? So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You can abound in every good work. Whatever God has in store for you. Because he can bless you with his grace to do so. I think about parenting. Do you know it takes some grace to be a parent? Like if you're throwing a fit every time there's spilt milk, oh my, all you're going to do is throw fits. I went to dinner once. I was probably 12, 13, somewhere in that phase. I was really having a growth spurt in my life. The first one ever, I went from like 4'8 to 4'10. I was pretty little. I grew late. Anyway, I'm out to dinner with my best friend and his family, and we go and we get milkshakes and hamburgers. And I go to grab my milkshake, and it's an open-top cup, no lid. Hadn't even taken a drink out of it yet. And my arm is longer than it used to be. So it arrives at the glass a little quicker than it used to. And slosh! And I spill the milkshake all over my best friend's dad. And it's running off the table into his lap. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm mortified. I'm like, this is horrible. And the waitress comes by, rises, it's happening. She goes, oh, don't worry about that, honey. I'll get you another one. Don't worry. And I'm just like, oh, this is terrible. So a little while later, she brings the next milkshake out. And I maybe get two drinks off this one. And I'm reaching for it again, and my hand arrives a little too quickly, and boosh! Now it's running off on my best friend. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is horrible. You probably won't believe me, but this happened a third time. And she finally brought it with a lid and a cup. But they extended so much grace to me, they could have said, oh, you're done, you're never eating with us again. You know, we're paying for your meal, and then you throw milkshakes all over us. But no, they extended grace to me. Say, hey, it's all right. We understand you're growing. No big deal. You're just clumsy. Sometimes we're clumsy in our Christianity. And sometimes we think everybody's at the same level as us. And why can't you eat your steak and potatoes? He's like, well, because I'm an infant. I'm still drinking milk. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I need you to extend me some grace to accept me where I'm at in Christ. Because until last week, I was living a life of sin. And I was headed to hell. And I just met him. And thank God I met him. But we need to learn to extend grace to those around us. Extend grace to your children. I often get this because we have from 8 to 16. It's like, well, why don't you make her do it? It's like, because she's 8. Like, I did not make you mow the lawn at 8. Maybe at 9, but not at 8. She can't even see over the handlebar. She'd be like this. You got to extend a little grace. And in our parenting, whether spiritually or physically in our families, we got to accept people where they're at. Oh, you don't know Christ yet? Well, let me tell you about his goodness. Let me tell you about his love and mercy. Let me tell you about his favor over my life when I began to serve him and how it radically changed everything within me. Because we have to have grace to grow and develop and train. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. A lot of people like the first part of this verse. Whoever spares the rod hates their children. So beat them! Get a club! Some people like that. But let's see what the rest of the verse says, and then the whole word of God. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. And when we discipline in grace, we discipline in love and mercy to correct a bad behavior and create a new behavior or to bring correction to the situation. Which doesn't mean you always need a club or a rod. But each situation is different and unique. And if we go about it as, what am I trying to do? I'm not just trying to beat my child or abuse them. I'm trying to grow and develop within them the character they'll need to propel them into the future God has in store for them. Now, if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How many of you know that training and instruction takes time? It takes a lot of time. We have a puppy right now. She's 7 months old. There's a lot of training and instruction that has to happen. She doesn't know the house rules. She doesn't know that, no, you can't eat out of the garbage. No, you can't just chew on everything that's laying around. No, the outdoors is your potty. The indoors is our potty. Okay, there's a lot of training and instruction that goes on. It takes a lot of time and effort, and you can't sit back for 5 hours and just let her roam the house. You need to be up with her every 20 or 30 minutes, letting her outside to do her business, or at least giving her the opportunity. But same thing with our children, of training and instructing them. It takes time. It's a lot easier to just whip their butt and go on about our business. But that's not always a good method. They don't know what they did wrong. They don't know what they need to correct. They don't know what's expected of them to do. The training and the instruction is, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about what you've done. Let's talk about why it was wrong according to God's word. And let's talk about what an appropriate behavior is. Then we train and instruct. Oh, now I get it. You feed me twice a day in my food bowl. I don't have to eat out of the garbage. That's with my dog, not my children, just for the record. That was for the dog. Just, wow, CPS probably beat me home. Talking about clubs and feeding my kid in a food bowl. Whew, that was for the dog. Isn't parenting fun? How many of you have perfect kids? Oh, I see kids raising their mom's hand. None of us do, because they need training and instruction and developed. They need to grow and learn. I have awesome kids. My kids are amazing. Completely amazing. But they still need training and instruction, and they're still not perfect. And the one day when we really reach perfection is when we cross into heaven. And he says, welcome, good and faithful servant. Come dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then it's like, whoa, RB really is perfect now. I've reached perfection. Until then, I'm going to strive for it, going to seek for it, going to try to get better each and every day. But until then, I'm not perfect, except for in God's eyes when he looks at me through Jesus and what Christ has done for me. He's washed me, cleansed me, made me whole, made me new. Not of what I've done, but what he's done on the cross. Thank God for his grace. How about in your marriage? Anybody ever need grace in their marriage? I'll speak for my wife. She needs a lot. She's married to me. I need grace too, to extend to her. Because we're people, and we have emotions, and we have good days, and we have bad days, and we get up on the wrong side of the bed, figuratively. If it was really that, we'd just get back in bed and get up on the other side, and life would be great again, right? But I need grace extended to me. Early on in our marriage, I cheated on my wife. Some of you probably didn't know that. If you didn't, it's because you didn't read the book. But I had went out partying with some friends, and there was this gal hitting on me, and we began making out. And then I had to carry that with me. I didn't realize this till years later, but how that affected our relationship. Because I'm like, I don't want to tell her. Oh, my God, I feel horrible. Of course, I wasn't serving God at that time in my life. I need some grace for this moment. And then I begin serving God, and God convicted me. He's like, hey, you got to talk to her about it. You got to tell her. You got to seek forgiveness. It's like, I don't want to tell her, God. I'm like, life's not great right now, but it's not horrible, and she might really hate me. Is she going to have grace for me? Thank God she did. I needed grace in my marriage to heal my relationship. Was she willing to extend it to me? Thank God she was. And she still has to for all my other dumb things I do. Nothing like that. But let's look at this verse real quick. Ephesians 5:28. Ephesians is loaded with good husband and wife stuff, just for the record. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So I was so self-condemning over this situation that I wasn't loving me well, which meant I couldn't love her well. We've got to be right before God, and we've got to accept grace. For me, it was hard to accept the grace of God over this situation, and it took a long time. The waterfall was there and available, but I couldn't stand under it because I didn't feel worthy to experience his grace. And this is one of the devil's greatest tactics. Of RB, you're not worthy of God's grace. You've screwed up so bad. You can't go any lower. It can't get any worse. So for years of our marriage, I walked in self-condemnation over this situation. And eventually, years later, was able to look back and go, oh, I couldn't love her well because I couldn't love me well. Where Ephesians tells me to love my wife as my own body. If I can't love me, I have a hard time loving her. The reason I can't love me is because I'm not accepting what God has given me, his grace, freely over me and extended it to me. And once I can accept that and say, all right, I screwed up, I was wrong, I'm taking responsibility, I've asked God for forgiveness, now I'm going to go face the music, ask my wife for forgiveness, hoping that goes well. God, remember we talked about earlier, is invite God into your situation. His grace is sufficient for you. And I just prayed about it and said, God, because my wife still wasn't saved at this time in our marriage. So I'm now somebody serving God, talking to somebody not serving God. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. but I'm putting it all on the line, and I'm coming clean. God, I need your grace for my situation. And thank God there was grace extended. That's when grace is real. That's when we need God's grace to intervene in our situation, our circumstance. It's when life's not going well, when we've really screwed up. But learning to accept God's grace and not believing the devil's lies that you are unworthy. Some of you need to hear that today. And Phil, God asked me to share this story specifically. Some of you need to hear that today. Maybe you're one of our online viewers. Maybe you're one of the 10 sitting here today. But you need to know that you are worthy, and all you have to do is move into acceptance of his grace over your situation, seek forgiveness, ask forgiveness, make it right between you and whoever that individual is, because God's grace is sufficient for you. There's nothing you could have done that would take you out of his grace except for your refusal to accept it. You need to hear that today. How about in your other relationships? Are relationships easy? No, not at all. They get messy. People have real emotions. People have real feelings. People are very passionate about certain things. Relationships are tough. But God asks us to be in relationship with him and relationship with one another. So how do we deal with those relationships? Can I tell another story on me? Yeah? That was way too quick. Way too quick. I haven't always been a great person. I haven't always walked in the grace of God. I haven't always done the right thing in my life. But thank God for his grace. I one time stole a piece of property. Now, some people would label me a thief and a cheater now, perhaps. God's grace doesn't see me that way. God's grace goes, oh, Arby, why'd you do that? Get the fairies out. Get the fairies heading to Arby again. Again, early on, wasn't saved, wasn't serving God at this point in my life. But I stole an item that belonged to someone else. It was actually an employee employer that I used to work for. And of course, God convicted me of this once I began serving him and said, hey, you need to make it right. And it's like, you know, but they don't even know what happened. They don't even know. And God's like, I know. And in order to get you to the promised land or to the miracles I have in store for you, I've got to build this character inside of you that says I will only do what's right before my God. And what's right is making things right with the person you've wronged. So eventually I wrote a letter and put in a bunch of money for the thing I'd taken, probably, I don't know, 5 times what it was worth, and wrote a letter and said, hey, you know, several years back I was in this situation and did this and took your property, and you probably don't even know it, but it was me, and I just want to say I'm now serving God, and he wanted me to write you this letter. And of course got to share with him my whole I'm serving God experience and share the gospel of Christ with him. But in the same note, I was like, you know, I'm sorry and I was wrong, and if there's anything else I need to do to make it right before you, please let me know. And left him my phone. This was before cell phones. You actually, some of you probably haven't experienced these, but you had these things at home on the counter that would like plug into a device, and then you'd pick them up and they had this tail that would hang down and like go back, and like you could only go so far. It was called a telephone. So I gave him my phone number and said, hey, you know, if you ever want to talk or have any questions for me, give me a call. And I mailed the letter off. I was like, oh, I was nervous. I was like, this isn't good. I get a letter back from him, and it says, some of the people around thought it was you, but I defended you and said, there's no way Arby would ever do that. I'm really surprised that you did that. By the way, if you're looking for a job this fall, I'm hiring. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. When you choose to do the right thing in the worst situation. And then he signed off and said, P.S., give me a call. So I called him immediately. We had a great conversation. He still offers me jobs whenever I talk to him. But that's the actual grace of God at work over your life in your wrong situations, covering you with love and mercy and unmerited favor. Do you need more favor in your life? Me, pick me. Definitely. I want more favor with my wife. I want more favor with my children. I want more favor with my community. I want more favor with my friends and family so I can express the love of God to them, so I can tell them about how great and amazing our God, our Lord and our Savior is. To God, I want your favor. And God, I'm moving a little deeper into the waterfall. God, I'm moving a little deeper in of experiencing your grace, your love and your mercy over me. God's grace moves us from bondage to freedom. I've had several other situations in my life we don't have time for today where I was wronged. And because I didn't experience God's grace or let it in, I was kept in bondage for years, decades. But once I found God's grace, I began walking in freedom and liberty, which is awesome. Which isn't just available for me because I have an ordination license. You don't have to become a pastor to receive it. You can receive it wherever you're at and just say, God, I need you. God, I need your grace in my life. God, I need your unmerited favor. I know there's nothing I can do to obtain it or get it, but I receive it in Jesus' name. Show me your love. Show me your mercy. God is good. He is faithful. He is more than enough. Walk a little deeper into the waterfall of God's grace this week. Amen. Come and get prayer today. At the end of service, the prayer team's going to be up here. Say, I need more of God's grace. I need to learn to receive it better. I need to learn to give it better. Come and get prayer today. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Stay safe out there. Love you guys.